Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing from the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 4, text 34, chapter entitled the Hamsaguya Prayers. Yat prakritir jnana patar jananam. Yata shayam deha gato vibhati. Yata nilak partivam ashrito gunam. Sa ishvaro me kurutam manoratam. For the interest of time, if people could chant now. Madhijis, please. Strategies, please. Yaha, who, prakatahi, lower grade, jnanapatahi, by the paths of worship, dananam, of all living entities, yata ashayam, according to the desire, dehagataha, situated within the core of the heart, Vibhati manifests. Ita, just as. Anilaha, the air. Partivam, easily. Ashritaha, receiving. Gunam, the quality, like flavor and color. Saha, he. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May. My. Kurutam. May he fulfill. Manoratam. Desire. For devotional service. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As the air carries various characteristics of the physical elements, like the aroma of a flower or a color resulting from a mixture of dust in the air. The Lord appears through lower systems of worship according to one's desires. Although he appears as demigods and not in his original form. What is the use of these other forms? May the original Supreme Personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. Purport. The impersonalists imagine the various demigods to be forms of the Lord. For example, the Mayavadis worship five demigods, Pancho Pashana. They do not actually believe in the form of the Lord, but for the sake of worship, they imagine some form to be God. Generally, they imagine a form of Vishnu, a form of Shiva, and forms of Ganesh, the sun god, and Durga. This is called Panchopashana. Daksha, however, wanted to worship not an imaginary form, but the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Form of Lord Krishna. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. As pointed out in a previous verse, Sarvang Puman Veda Gunang Shchataj Gyon Naveda Sarvagyam Anantam Ide. The Omnipotent Supreme Lord knows everything, but the living being does not actually know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I know everything, but no one knows me. This is the difference between the Supreme Lord and an ordinary living being. In a prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti says, My dear Lord, you exist inside and outside, yet no one can see you. The conditioned soul cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by speculative knowledge or by imagination. One must therefore know the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He reveals himself, but he cannot be understood by speculation, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10:14:29. Atapi te deva padam bhuja dvaya prasada le sanu grihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno Nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. This is the verdict of the Shastras. An ordinary man may be a great philosopher, and may speculate upon what the Absolute Truth is, what his form is, and where he is existing, but he cannot understand these truths. Sevon muke hijiva dao swayam eva spuratidaha. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.34. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only through devotional service. This is also explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself in the Bhagavad Gita 18.55. Bhaktya mama vijananti yavanyaschasmi tattotaha. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. Unintelligent persons want to imagine or concoct a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but devotees want to worship the actual Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Daksha prays, One may think of you as personal, impersonal, or imaginary, but I wish to pray to your Lordship that you fulfill my desires to see you as you actually are. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that this verse is especially meant for the impersonalist, who thinks that he himself is the Supreme, because there is no difference between the living being and God. The Mayavadi philosopher thinks that there is only one Supreme Truth, and that he is also that Supreme Truth. Actually, this is not knowledge, but foolishness. And this verse is especially meant for such fools, whose knowledge has been stolen by illusion. Maya aparita jnana. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that such persons, gyasi manina, think themselves very advanced, but actually, they are unintelligent. In regard to this verse, Srila Madhvacharya says, Svadehastam harim prahur adma jivam evatu madhyamash chapyan nirnitam jivad binam janardanam. There are three classes of men: the lowest, adhama; those in the middle, madhyama; and the best, uttama. The lowest, adhama, think that there is no difference between God and the living entity, except that the living entity is under designations, whereas the absolute truth has no designations. In their opinion, as soon as the designations of the material body are dissolved, the jiva, the living entity, will mix with the supreme. They give the argument of gatakasha patakasha, in which the body is compared to a pot with the sky within and the sky without. When the pot breaks, the sky inside becomes one with the sky outside. And so the impersonalists say the living being becomes one with the supreme. This is their argument, but Srila Madhvacharya says that such an argument is put forward by the lowest class of men. Another class of men cannot ascertain what the actual form of the supreme is, but they agree that there is a supreme who controls the activities of the ordinary living being. Such philosophers are accepted as mediocre. The best, however, are those who understand the Supreme Lord, Tachit Ananda Vigraha, Purnanandadi Gunakam Sarvajiva Vilakshanam. His form is completely spiritual, full of bliss, and completely distinct from that of the conditioned soul or any other living entity. Uttamastu harim prahus taratamyena teshucha. Such philosophers are the best because they know that the Supreme Personality Godhead reveals Himself differently to worshippers in various modes of material nature. They know that there are 33 million demigods just to convince the conditioned soul that there is a supreme power and to induce him to agree to worship one of these demigods, so that by the association of devotees, he may be able to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead. As Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matak paratarang nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. Aham adya hideva nam. I am the origin of all the demigods. Aham sarvasya prabhava. I am superior to everyone, even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the other demigods. These are the conclusions of the Shastra, and one who accepts these conclusions should be considered a first-class philosopher. Such a philosopher knows that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord of the demigods. Deva Deveshwaram Sutram Anandam Prana Vedanaha. Om Gyanati Miranda Syaganandra Nasalakaya Chakshur Unmilitangi Natasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. Namang Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai Buddhale Shimate Paladananda Swami Dhone. Namang Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai Buddhale Shimate Bhakti Padanda Swami Dhone. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaurvani Pacharne Nivrishisha Shunivadi Paschatya Dejitarne. Well, that's a real mouthful. Prabhupada said so much in this whole purport. It's like we could easily spend entire classes just on small sections of this. So it's very significant that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur indicates here that this verse is especially indicated for the impersonalists to expose their foolishness and show that what they believe isn't actually the highest truth. And this can even be seen by so many different societies around in the world. There's some too that claim themselves to be the followers of the ultimate conclusion of the Vedas. But what do? They worship Kali and they eat meat. You know, in so many different yoga societies, you know, claiming to be so much in the mode of goodness, having their farms and this thing and that thing, and meanwhile they don't distinguish between, as Prabhupada said, Daridra Narayan and Gaut Narayan. So they worship Rudra Narayan and then they kill and eat Goat Narayan. All in the name of satisfying their tongue. Because ultimately, people turn to impersonalism out of fear. They don't turn to impersonalism because of some great desire for understanding the absolute personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. Prabhupada explains this very clearly and very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita, from verse 4:10 in the Gita. Vitaraga vaya krodha manmaya mamupashita bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agataha. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. And the first paragraph of this purport, Prabhupada just exposes the impersonalists, the voidists, and the karmis who take shelter in intoxication. The wording that he uses is so succinct, and it really sums up why people take shelter of these different things. So I'll just read that first paragraph here. As described above, it's very difficult for a person who is too materially affected to understand the personal nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Generally, people who are attached to the bodily conception of life are so absorbed in materialism that it's almost impossible for them to understand how the Supreme can be a person. Such materialists cannot even imagine that there is a transcendental body which is imperishable, full of knowledge, and eternally blissful. In the materialistic concept, the body is perishable, full of ignorance, and completely miserable. Therefore, people in general keep this same bodily idea in mind when they are informed of the personal form of the Lord. For such materialistic men, the form of the gigantic material manifestation is supreme. Consequently, they consider the Supreme to be impersonal. And because they are too materially absorbed, the conception of retaining the personality after liberation from matter frightens them. When they are informed that spiritual life is also individual and personal, they become afraid of becoming persons again, and so they naturally prefer a kind of merging into the impersonal void. Generally, they compare the living entities to the bubbles of the ocean, which merge into the ocean. That is the highest perfection of spiritual existence attainable without individual personality. This is a kind of fearful stage of life, devoid of perfect knowledge of spiritual existence. Furthermore, there are many persons who cannot understand spiritual existence at all. Being embarrassed by so many theories and by contradictions of various types of philosophical speculation, they become disgusted or angry and foolishly conclude that there is no supreme cause and that everything is ultimately void. Such people are in a diseased condition of life. Some people are too materially attached and therefore do not give attention to spiritual life. Some of them want to merge into the supreme spiritual cause, and some of them disbelieve in everything, being angry at all sorts of spiritual speculation out of hopelessness. This last class of men take to the shelter of some kind of intoxication, and their affective hallucinations are sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. One has to get rid of all three stages of attachment to the material world: negligence of spiritual life, fear of a spiritual personal identity, and the conception of void that arises from frustration in life. To get free from these three stages of the material concept of life, one has to take complete shelter of the Lord, guided by a bona fide spiritual master, and follow the disciplines and regulative principles of devotional life. So that's really why people turn to impersonalism. It's out of fear. Even one young Bhakta Josh, who's in high school, Just to illustrate how pervasive impersonalism is. You know, he's in his high school preaching to his fellow students. And he's explaining about Krishna consciousness and about how we're really the soul and the soul is eternal. And he's gotten so many responses that have just shocked him. One person was saying, well, you know, I don't believe in that because, you know, to be eternal, that would be like really boring. You know, because just like Prabhupada's saying here in this purport, that it's because people are using, they're coming from this bodily concept of life. And so they're applying their bodily concept on the transcendental nature of reality. And because of this falsely mapped concept of transcendental reality, they view it to be boring. Because their life is boring. Because they're boring people. They have no imagination or intelligence. And so they're thinking, you know, I'm already bored. So why would I want to live for eternity being bored for eternity? Or so many people have had so many bad experiences with having an individual personality, experiencing bad relationships, experiencing the miseries of the mind, experiencing the miseries of the body. And so the very thought of having an individual personality after the cessation of this body is a very frightening concept. They want to avoid that at all costs, and so therefore they take shelter in impersonalism. And then a quick note about the translation of this verse. I found it very interesting. How, I know it's not touched upon very deeply in the purport here, but I found it quite interesting how Daksha is describing the air and how this relates to how Krishna represents himself indirectly within this material nature. He says, as air carries various characteristics of the physical elements, like the aroma of a flower or colors, resulting from a mixture of dust in the air, the Lord appears through lower systems of worship according to one's desires. You know, so it seems to me that what Daksha's mentioning is that, well, first of all, this also reminds me of that, of where it states that according to our mentality, what material modes of nature we're contaminated with, that will carry us from one lifetime to another. Just as aroma is carried by the wind. So in that context, it's explaining how our consciousness becomes affected by the wind. Our consciousness is actually pure, just like the air is pure. The air can go through a flower garden and pick up the aroma of a rose. That same air can go through a stool house and pick up the foul smell of stool. But just because the air is carrying the foul smell of stool doesn't mean the air is actually polluted. The air is pure. But according to our desires, we take on these different characteristics of these different modes of material nature. So the description given here in this translation is a little bit different, where it's talking about, I like how Daksha mentions the mixture of the dust in the air. So this is very appropriate, corresponding with our material contamination. This different dust in the air is like the material desires within our heart that cloud, that accumulate a lot of dirt on this mirror of our consciousness. And so therefore our ability to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes covered. Just like the sun being covered by clouds, the sun itself is never diminished by the cloud. The sun is always in full brilliance. But the cloud covers our perception of the sun. So in the same way, based upon our desires cover our ability to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so for those whose intelligence has been bewildered, they can only understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through His indirect manifestation as the demigods. The demigods are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they're imbued with His power to administer the functioning of this material universe. And just to illustrate that, that's why Lord Jagannath, on Snan Yatra Day, he takes the form, the Vesh, of Hatti Vesh. You know, the form of an elephant. There was this one very materialistic person who had a very strong attachment to Ganesh. He was thinking that Ganesh is God. He had no other concept of God. He just knew, well, Ganesh is the God. And so he heard from someone that, oh, you know, the Supreme God is in this one temple. You must go and see Him. He's so beautiful and He's so merciful. So he was thinking, okay, I'll go and see. And the whole time he was meditating upon the form of Ganesh. And so when he went into the temple, it was the temple there in Puri, he saw Lord Jagannath and he was completely disappointed. He thought, this isn't how my Lord looks. He doesn't have any trunk. There's no big ears. This can't be God. And so he leaves in great frustration, very angry and cursing and, oh, that rascal, why did he mislead me? And so Lord Jagannath, just to show him some mercy, he comes to him and says, no, come back to the temple, you didn't see properly. And so this person comes back to the temple, and then when he takes darshan of Lord Jagannath, he sees Lord Jagannath with the elephant's trunk and big ears, and then he can accept him as God. You know, so this is an example of how a materialistically afflicted person cannot have any vision, any real darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because their vision is covered, it's impaired by their own materialistic desires. So that's why it's so important to really take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master coming through one of the authorized paramparas to get this ultimate knowledge. Otherwise, what chance do we have? It's only through bhakti that we can actually understand Krishna as He actually is. Otherwise, we'll just be left grasping after straws here in this material world because we're limited by our own materialistic understanding of things, limited by our own useless desires, limited by our own pride, because we're too puffed up to actually surrender and accept some higher authority. And so we'll always be left speculating. Then eventually, as Prabhupada said from this verse in the Gita, eventually we'll get so sick and tired of all this speculation that we'll say, well, just forget it all. This doesn't even exist. It's just nothing. Everything was black before I was born, and everything will go back to being black when I'm dead. I know quite a few people who have had that very experience. They were very spiritual in the beginning, you know, seeking very strongly. But then because they could never get over their false pride and give up their speculation, they became frustrated. Because they're endlessly speculating and nobody can satisfy their speculations. Because everyone has their own speculation. It's like a Muni. The characteristic of a Muni is that every single Muni has a different speculation. There's no two Munis that think the same. Until finally they become frustrated with their endless speculation and call it all void. Oh, it's just nothing exists. I am nothing, I'm seeing nothing, I'm experiencing nothing. So it's explained that in their next life they become a stone. Because a stone is so in such deep ignorance, the stone cannot perceive things. The stone cannot see. The stone cannot move. The stone cannot talk. So this is as close as people can actually get to being merged with the void, is becoming a stone. Just like Prabhupada has mentioned many occasions in different conversations and whatnot, that if people are engaged in so much nonsense, the best thing for them to do is to do nothing. So rather than speculating so much nonsense, Krishna just sits them down in a situation where they can't cause any more harm. So they become stones, and then the impersonalists, they become trees. They're put into lower forms of life where they can't do any damage. So just real quick, I have about 5 minutes left. Today is also the appearance of Srivas Pandit. Srivas Pandit is an extremely important person in our parampara. So this is an extremely auspicious day. Anyone remembering having any sort of connection with Srivas Pandit is a very, very fortunate person. Even Srivas Pandit's washer, the person who would wash his clothing, an ordinary person, his only qualification is that he was washing Srivas's clothing, which is a very degraded position in India, being a washerman. And still, because he was washing Srivas Thakur's clothing, Lord Chaitanya gave him tremendous mercy and he became a very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. Simply for washing Srivas Thakur's clothing. So there's one verse in the Adi Leela, 9.3 of the CC. It says, Jai Jai Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktagana Sarvabhishta Putri Hetu Yahar Smarana. All glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas Thakur. In order to fulfill all my desires, I remember their lotus feet. So Srivas Pandit, it's explained later on in the CC, that Srivas Pandit was an incarnation of Narada Muni. And thus Srivas' younger brother, Sri Ram Pandit, he is an incarnation of Parvati Muni. Because Narada Muni and Parvati Muni, they're best friends. Wherever Narada Muni goes, Parvati Muni is there following him. They're inseparable. They always go together. And Srivas Pandit, he's one of the Panchatattva. So it's Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Sri Advaita Acharya, Sri Giradhar, and Srivas Pandit. Haribo! So Srivas Pandit represents the Jiva soul. These are the five main energies of the Supreme Absolute Truth. There's Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. There's Lord Nityananda, who is Lord Baladev. There's Advaita Acharya, who is actually the combined incarnation of Sankarshan. I'm sorry, of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. And then there's Giradhar Pandit, who is none other than Srimati Radharani herself. And then there's Srivas, who represents the Jiva. So these are the five main energies, primary energies, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. And so Srivas is very, very important, and so many important activities happen at Srivas's house also. So in the Anti Lila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the second chapter, text 34 through 35, he explains that there's four places where he will always appear. He will always appear in the household temple of Mother Shachi Devi, in the places where Sri Nityananda Prabhu danced, in the house of Srivas Pandit during congregational chanting, and in the house of Raghava Pandit. He appeared in these places because of his attraction to the love of his devotees. And that's his natural characteristic. So even today, we can still go to Srivas Angam, which is the house of Srivas Pandit. And if our kirtan is pure enough, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear there. Because he said right here, he appears in the house of Srivas Pandit during congregational chanting. So when we have ecstatic kirtans at Srivas Angam, Lord Chaitanya personally becomes manifest there because of this congregational chanting. And so before Lord Chaitanya made his congregational chanting public, in private, only with his most intimate devotees, confidential associates, for 1 year straight, every single night, he would have these wild kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur. And these were just incredibly amazing kirtans. So amazing that all the neighbors would become envious and jealous that they weren't invited, because they heard what a fantastic time they were having. Until finally they complained to the Chankazi, and then the Chankazi came and knocked on the door during the kirtan and smashed Srivas Thakur's murdunga. And then this is a very ecstatic occasion. It's terrible because he smashed the murdunga. But it's ecstatic because this is what made the kirtan public. It's because of this incident. And so then this is when Lord Chaitanya, he gathered this large following of his disciples and followers, and they all marched to storm the house of the Chankazi. So this was the first public Harinam in history. So it's a very, very wonderful thing, and this Srivas Thakur was very instrumental in this whole process. So I'll end there if there's any quick comments or questions. Yes, Mother Karuna? Yeah, you know, it's just Prabhupada described that there's... Can you turn the mic up, please? Thank you. There's different levels, degrees of purity. You know, just like a mango. A mango is still a mango whether it's ripe or unripe. Whether it's green and hard or whether it's fully ripened and soft. It's still a mango. In the same way, all different levels of devotees can be pure devotees. You know, Prabhupada explained, first class, second class, third class, doesn't matter. They can still be pure devotee. So whether we're Kanishta Adhikari, we can still be a pure devotee. Whether we're Madhyam Adhikari, we can still be a pure devotee. Because purity is determined based upon our desire to serve and please Krishna without consideration for our own material speculations. That's the standard of purity. However, within that standard of purity, there's different degrees of ripeness. A Kanishta Adhikari is not a very ripe, pure devotee. But that purity can still be there. So just because one may be Kanishta does not necessarily mean that one is not pure. But the ultimate standard, the topmost standard, when most devotees refer to a pure devotee, they're referring to an Uttama Adhikari pure devotee. You know, just to clarify. And so, even though this person was very neophyte in his understanding, you know, he couldn't understand how Krishna, Lord Jagannath, is the Supreme Personality Godhead. His understanding is clouded with material vision, which indicates that he's a Kanishtha Adhikari. He's a Prakrita Bhakta. But still, because of that purity, then Lord Jagannath gave him some mercy. Is that okay? Jai. Yes? Sachi Mai Guru? Is the mic there?
Thank you, Prabhu. Since today is Srivas Pandi's appearance day, it is said in the scriptures that the Supreme Lord can only be recognized by his pure devotees. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as the hidden avatar and he was displaying some symptoms of sickness, many people were advising Mother Sachi to rub some oil, some disturbance in the areas of his body for Mahaprabhu. And she called Srivas Pandit, and Srivas Pandit came, and he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Srivas Pandit, Srivas, what do you think about this sickness?" He says, "Oh, I wish I could have that sickness." He says, "Thank you. Because if you would have said that's an ordinary sickness, I will drown myself in the Ganga."
Jai. Yeah, actually, all the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, can you turn the mic up, please? They were all, when he was still known as Nimai Pandit, they were all actually praying for the day that he would become a Vaishnav. They all knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they were just waiting for him to manifest the pastimes of being a Vaishnav. You know, because being a logician and grammarian, he was just an intolerable nuisance. Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Vas Pandit Prabhu ki jai.